God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to this next installment in the Caring for the Household of Faith series. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We began this series with setting the importance of preserving the doctrine of the Word. Timothy, by the Apostle Paul, was encouraged to charge some in 1 Timothy 1:3 to teach no other doctrine. Today, we'll consider standing firm in the household of faith. Once we know the doctrine of the household of faith, we must stand firm in and with that truth. To stand firm in the household of faith requires love-motivated watchfulness, courage, and strength. And we'll see this beautifully laid out in God's Word. We'll begin here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 2. Unto Timothy, Paul writes, my own son in the faith, that's the household faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Timothy was Paul's own son, or true child, in the household faith. Pupils or disciples were called children of their teachers. And Timothy was a student of the household of faith that Paul taught. Timothy lived and understood enough to teach it to others. Whenever we see the household of faith mentioned in Scripture, it's a reminder to the workmen of the Word of the common faith of Jesus Christ we all share as brothers and sisters in the family of God. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Standing firm in the household of faith is not about grouping ourselves in a location or calling ourselves by a name. The household of faith is spiritual. It's not physical and is only accessible through grace, framed by the truth regarding Jesus Christ. That's the only way the household of faith is accessible. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we'll see some further truth. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, again, true child, Paul writing to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The unmerited divine favor, be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It requires one to be strong in the grace that it's in Christ Jesus in order to continue to teach and make known the truth of God's Word. Paul taught Timothy so he could live the truth and teach it to others. When this grace of the household of faith is lived and shared, that is when the mystery of the body of Christ can truly live in each generation or the times in which we live. If this knowledge is available, and it definitely is today, then each day and time must rise up to this calling through their own desire and conviction. And when that happens, the gift ministries rise up to perfect the saints in every generation. Though there's nothing new under the sun, each day and time faces challenges which are perhaps experientially unknown to them. That's why, for instance, apostles are needed. Apostles bring new light, which may be old light, but it's new to that generation or day and time. All the gift ministries and service ministries are needed. Men and women, young people must rise to God's calling to them and in them. And Timothy was such a young person, there's no question. He rose up to his calling and cared for the household of faith in his day and time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see the word's testimony of Timothy's quality. in 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, in verse 16. It reads, "Wherefore I beseech you," Paul writes, "be ye followers of me," talking about the truth that Paul taught and lived. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus." So he's sending Timothy to the Corinthians, "who is my beloved son." That word son, again, is true child. It's beautiful. "And faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Timothy was to bring Paul's ways in Christ to their remembrance. He was to help the Corinthians. Paul sends Timothy, who diligently followed Paul's ways in Christ, to help the Corinthians be followers of the truth regarding Jesus Christ. Paul's ways in Christ include standing firm in the household of faith. Timothy would have carried out that and taught this instruction from Paul to the Corinthians. Let's see this. Same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're considering standing firm in the household of faith. It's part of how we care for the household of faith. Now, I want to point out, which some of you are familiar with, Greek has what are called imperative mood verbs, which express a command. For example, 1 Corinthians 14:40, a verse many of us are familiar with, reads, "Let all things be done decently and in order." That's 1 Corinthians 14:40. Well, the words "let be done" are a command. They're not a request, they're a command. And they're in the present tense. So a present tense command here means you keep on doing it right now, all the time. You keep on doing it. Well, we're going to see 5 present tense commands in 2 verses. Verses 13 and 14 of the 16th chapter of Corinthians. 5. And 5 in the word represents God's grace. Because it's only with and in God's grace can believers stand firm in the household of faith. Like Timothy was exhorted, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's what allowed Timothy to receive that word and then be able to teach others also. Well, let's look at this standing firm in the household of faith, these 5 present tense commands in the 16th chapter of the book of Corinthians, verse 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith," that's the household faith. "Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." With charity is in love or in the love of God. Those are the 5. The first one, let's just go over them and then we'll break them down in more specifics. But the first one says, "watch ye." "Watch ye" is the Greek word gregoreo, transliterated gregoreo, gregoreo. And again, it's an imperative present verb. And it means to keep awake, to watch. Basically, to be spiritually awake. Then it says, "stand fast in the faith," or the household of faith. The words "stand fast" are one Greek word, stako. S-T-long-E-K-long-O, stako. And they can be translated, stand firm. Stand firm. It means to persist or persevere. In other words, we just take a stand and we don't move on it. We persist, we persevere. And we're supposed to do it in the household of faith. Within the household of faith. That's the second command, stand fast or stand firm. The third is quit you like men. Quit you like men is basically one Greek word. It's the Greek word andrizomai, A-N-D-R-I-Z-O. M-A-I, transliterated. And it means to show oneself a man or to be brave. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, it's translated be of good courage. The fourth command in verse 13 is be strong. And this is the Greek word krataio, to make powerful in effect. It's from the Greek word kratos, which many are familiar with, power with an impact. So it's to make powerful in effect. It has an impact, the strength. That's the fourth. Then the fifth is in verse 14. It's the words, let be done. Let be done. Let be done is a command. And it's in the present tense. We continue to do it. And it talks about, let all your things be done with charity. So it's to be done in love. All these things in the immediate context. Watch ye, stand firm, quit you like men, be strong, are to be done in love. All present tense commands, they're to be done in love. So we keep watching, we keep standing firm, we quit like men, meaning we show ourselves brave, and to be strong are all done in love. And so interesting. J.B. Phillips puts these verses 13 and 14 together. And he called it, quote, a little sermon in a nutshell. And you'll see why. There's so much depth here. He translates it, quote, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Live like men. Be strong. Let everything that you do be done in love, end quote. That is quite a message in God's word. It's the watching, it's the standing firm, it's the being brave and strong that are all done in love. The five present tense commands together present a package of how to stand firm in the household of faith that Timothy would have followed and he would have taught when Paul sent him. Let's break these down now into more depth here. Let's first consider watch in love, verse 13. Watch ye. Watch ye. To stand firm involves vigilance, to be spiritually awake. We pay attention to details, and we do that out of love, not out of suspicion or fear. Because like I mentioned, watch ye means to keep awake, to watch. And it's used of being roused from sleep. And here, this is not talking about physical sleep. It's to watch and give strict attention, to be cautious and active. We're not spiritually asleep, and it's a command. You know, part of what lulls leaders and believers to spiritual sleep is ignoring the obvious. When we ignore the obvious, it just dulls our spiritual perception. That's why it's so important to stay sharp on the manifestations, for instance, the worship manifestations of speaking in tongues with interpretation and prophecy and meetings. It's so important to be on time. You know, the best we can, we want to be on time. That's important. We want to speak words that edify. That's important. We don't want to allow habits of speaking words that tear down. We want to pay attention to not be hypocritical, say one thing and do something else. These are all things that we can do, because if they're allowed to continue in our lives, it really makes us dull. We want to be sharp. Please look at Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel 33. We're considering this watch. Also, not speaking up when error shows itself slowly breaks down our own integrity on the word and provides an environment for error to exist. That's why watch is first in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Because without that, all the other ones don't make any difference, because the integrity of the word breaks down. Practical error regarding the household of faith will take hold until it becomes doctrinal error. That's what we're watching for. And there's a responsibility to this, to watch and be vigilant. We'll see this concept of watching here in Ezekiel chapter 33. And it paints a vivid picture. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, meaning God allows it to happen, idiom of permission, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Wow. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. He heeds, he listens to the watchman. Verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Wow. Verse 7. So then, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. The watchman was to take God's word and warn God's people. See, the watchman was on the wall. Walls were designed to keep the enemy out. Well, our day and time, our enemy's not physical. Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Also, we know from Romans 8:7 that the carnal mind is an enmity against God. And in its least common denominator, fear is the believer's only enemy. Look at Nehemiah, please. Look at Nehemiah. Let's take a look at this and develop it even further. That's the four Psalms, Nehemiah chapter 7. We are to watch. We are to be vigilant. We are to be spiritually awake. Nehemiah chapter 7. Nehemiah and others, which he led, rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and set the gates thereof. And we pick it up in verse 7. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I'd set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, Let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Once the framework was set, he set a watch to be vigilant for the enemy. So after the wall is rebuilt, the gates are restored, Nehemiah sets watches to warn when evil comes. And the word watches in the Greek Old Testament is the word from 1 Corinthians 16:13, gregoreo. Be awake. See, we do not have walls in the household of faith, but we do have boundaries of truth that we can't allow to be breached, because error will creep in. And when practical error creeps in, if it stays long enough, it will become doctrinal error. Please turn to Acts chapter 20. That's why the first aspect of standing firm in the household of faith is we have to watch. We have to be spiritually awake in order to keep out the enemy, keep out error. Here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And as many of us know, that was not God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. But he stops off at Miletus and calls for the leadership at Ephesus to come see him. And there's great truth here that he shares. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Paul was with them all the time. He spent day and night with them. Look at verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." Wow. Therefore, watch. Therefore, be spiritually awake. Spiritually awake. It's the Greek word gregoreo. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He was like the watchman of the Old Testament. He was blowing the trumpet. He had warned them. And now he's telling them to watch. See, we're not suspicious, only vigilant, spiritually awake. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Part of caring for the household of faith is to be vigilant, to be spiritually awake, to warn people when error comes in so they can make corrections. And so error does not abide practically and turn into doctrinal error. 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We are to be sober, be vigilant. The word vigilant is our word, gregoreo. And it says also that we're to be sober. Interesting. To be sober here means to be temperate or abstinent. In other words, you withhold yourself from something. It's used especially in reference to wine. Because there are times when you and I know we need to do without something to be our best so we can remain vigilant. Maybe we don't take on more things than we need to regarding, you know, our schedules and such, because at a particular time we need to be even more vigilant. We need to be spiritually awake. Well, it says that we're to be sober, temperate, and spiritually awake, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for weak spots in the boundaries of truth. That's what he's looking for, so he can breach those boundaries. Back to 1 Corinthians 16, please. 1 Corinthians 16. So we're considering standing firm in the household of faith. And the first aspect is a present command. We continue to be spiritually awake. We don't get lulled to sleep. We pay attention to the obvious. Very important. Our words, our actions. And then secondly, it says here in verse 13, stand fast or stand firm in the household faith. The word stand fast is that Greek word stako, like I mentioned, which means to stand firm or persevere, persist. And it says, in the household faith. The word in is that preposition that means all the way within. All the way within the household faith. Not on the fringes, but I'm all the way within the center of it, standing firm in the household may be difficult to understand for those that are uninstructed or for those that walk by their five senses, because they must believe in something that they cannot see. Because the household of faith has no physical structure. It's not like you can point to something and say, that's the household of faith. The structure is the Word. So we stand within the boundaries of truth regarding the common faith of Jesus Christ that we all share as brothers and sisters in the family of God. I have the faith of Jesus Christ. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. There's great respect between us, and we build from there because we all share the same measure of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Boundaries of truth are not restrictive. Boundaries of truth. They're not restricting. It's within the boundaries of truth that error is kept out. It's within the boundaries of truth that true freedom in Christ is enjoyed. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 1. Stand fast, it says in verse 1 of Galatians 5. The words stand fast are the same Greek word stego. To stand firm, persist, persevere in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He didn't just make me free, he made you free. We're all free in the household of faith when we understand these great truths. He made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Wow. Freedom in Christ is a characteristic of standing firm in the household of faith. That's part of how we know we're standing within that household of faith, the freedom we have in Christ. So we watch that we do not allow ourselves to be put in mental prisons. That would not be freedom in Christ. How do we do that? Well, we watch our confessions. What is coming out of our mouth? What are we saying? We watch our actions. Or lack of action, depending on the situation. You know, when we should be acting and we're not. We watch, we're spiritually awake, that we don't put limitations on God, that the Word of God does not put. Because with God, the Word says, all things are possible. This is why it's so important to teach and reteach. So those boundaries of truth that really frame the household of faith continue. Even if we've heard it 1,000 times, perhaps that 1,000th time someone really hears that truth and takes action and gets free of a mental prison or stops limiting God. This is tremendous. It does take consistent loving and tender teaching that helps people overcome religious backgrounds and unprofitable habits. We're standing firm in the household of faith, and part of it is standing firm in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The household of faith not only has clear boundaries, but is also, in its very nature, dynamic and self-propagating. Absolutely. So standing firm in it is not only just to preserve the truth for ourselves, but it's for us together to reach out and win others to God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation or citizenship be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, or the gospel that pertains to Christ. The good news, that whether I come and see you, Paul writes, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. There it is, stego. You stand firm. You persevere in one spirit or as one spiritually. With one mind or one soul. Look at the unity here. Striving together for the family faith, the household faith of the gospel. Wow. We stand fast spiritually as one, with one soul, striving together in that athletic competition, spiritual competition, for the household faith, the good news. The faith of Christ that we share in the family of God is good news. Absolutely good news, because it brought us eternal life. It is our salvation, and it's also our potential in Christ Jesus, that we can walk like Him. So standing firm together to move the word brings direction and purpose in the household of faith. Just so we don't think that standing firm means we just stand in one place. There's also a dynamic to it in moving the word. Back to 1 Corinthians 16. We've looked at watch ye, stand fast or stand firm in the household faith. Then the next thing it says in verse 13 is quit you like men. And this is again done in love. And it's one Greek word, andrizomai, and it means to show oneself a man. And this isn't about gender. It's really speaking about being brave. And the Amplified here, I like it. It says, quote, act like men and be courageous, end quote. We might say in our culture, man up. And there's a couple of unique things here. This word is only used one time in the New Testament. So it's uniquely significant. And look at the context. Look at the context. It's standing firm in the household of faith. Wow. Here in its Greek grammatical construction, I mentioned that this, like the others, are commands in the present, so we continue to do them. But it's also in the middle voice. And the Greek has three voices. The active voice, where the subject does the action. The middle voice, where the subject acts upon itself. And the passive voice, where the subject is acted upon by an outside source or force. This one is in the middle voice. So you and I act on ourselves. We man up. We act like men and are courageous. We do it to ourselves. We decide that we're going to do it. No one else can do it for us. And to help us even further, look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, please. We're going to see this word in the Greek Old Testament. Chapter 31. We'll look at the first occurrence of this word, andrizomai, in the Greek Old Testament and how revealing it is in terms of standing firm in the household of faith. It's Moses speaking in the 40th year of his leading the children of Israel, and he's speaking to Israel in this verse, and here's the first occurrence, and the second, right in a row. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31, it says, be strong and of a good courage. He's talking to Israel, the children of Israel. The words, be of good courage, are the word andrizomai. And look at what it says next, fear not, nor be afraid of them, that's people. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not. This is why I, speaking about myself, must show myself a man. Because fear is a temptation. Doesn't have to be a reality. Certainly is a temptation. Because to stand firm in the household of faith, there is going to be challenges. That's why God says, watch, be spiritually awake, and to stand firm in the household faith, and then show yourself a man. Be of good courage. So we don't have to be afraid. Then in verse 7, Moses is going to repeat this, but now he's going to say it to Joshua himself. Verse 7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, so everybody's hearing, be strong and of a good courage. Andrizomai, good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Wow. Moses told the children of Israel, then he told Joshua. He was to be of good courage or very courageous. When it comes to claiming what God has already promised us, it takes courage to do this. And talk about something that no one had ever done before. The children of Israel and Joshua here were going to claim the promised land. Well, what about us today? Claiming the promises of the household of faith and living the mystery of the body of Christ. This is fantastic because it's going to take courage. In every generation or day and time, Christians who know and stand firm in the household of faith are really on the frontier of grace. They move from bondage to promise, breaking new ground. Now, it may be old ground, but it's new to them in the sense of really living it. Serving on the cutting edge of grace is to lead others in living the mystery of the body of Christ. This starts with standing firm in the household of faith. Please turn back to 1 Corinthians 16. And this is going to take courage every day. It's going to take courage every single day to stand firm in the household of faith. Once we're spiritually awake, we stand firm in it, we persevere in it, we don't budge. How does one find the strength to forge forward in the wilderness of religion that dominates our world and lead our brothers and sisters to the household of faith and living the mystery of the body of Christ? How does somebody do that? Well, we certainly can't do it on our own strength. Of our own selves, we would just faint. We need strength from God in Christ. And we'll see this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Here's our fourth command. Be strong. Be strong. It means to make powerful in effect. Kratiao. To make kratos, powerful with an impact. But what's interesting here in its Greek grammatical construction, it's in the passive voice. That means the subject is acted upon by an outside source or an outside force. Well, who is that source? God. God will strengthen us as we man up, as we show ourselves brave. When fear or intimidation comes around, God will strengthen us. Look at Psalm 27, please. We'll be back here. Psalm 27. Let's look at this. Psalm 27, how God strengthens us. It's interesting that this phraseology in the Greek comes up in the Old Testament as well. These two words come up again, the quit like men and to be strong. And in Psalm 27, this is a psalm of David. And he certainly knew what it meant to have courage. It says in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The word wait in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, means to remain behind after others have gone. It has various meanings and various applications. But when it's used of persons in a conflict, it means to keep one's ground and hold out. We get the mind picture. It means to be brave, bearing up against sufferings, meaning you just hold. We hold for God. And the key is to involve the Lord. Because without him, it won't work. We can't really remain behind when others have gone, or to keep our ground. We need the Lord. It says, wait on the Lord. The first occurrence of this word involves waiting for an answer from God. in the Greek Old Testament. So we're really looking to God. And then it says, be of good courage. The words be of good courage are that word andrizomai, where we show ourselves brave. And then it says, and he shall strengthen thine heart. There it is. Kratai a'o. And it's God making a powerful impact on our heart. Here in the Greek Old Testament, the word strengthen is in the passive voice. So God is strengthening our heart. As we have good courage, we decide to man up, to show ourselves a man, if you will. God will strengthen our heart. Wow. So we literally show ourselves a man or brave in the face of fear, pressure, or adversity or challenge, and we act on ourselves. And then God strengthens, makes powerful effect on our heart. He takes the action to make a powerful impact on us. And that's what that 1 Corinthians 16 is talking about. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Standing firm in the household of faith really requires us to be spiritually vigilant, to stand firm, like in the freedom we have in Christ, moving that word forward. And we show ourselves brave with good courage, and then God strengthens us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We'll look at this word in a different book here in the book of Ephesians. In verse 16, it says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. God is going to grant us to be strengthened. That word to be strengthened, or those words, are the same word in 1 Corinthians 16:13, kratai-a-o, with might by his spirit in the inner man. See, God will strengthen us as we operate those manifestations, most specifically speaking in tongues. He strengthens us. He's the one that provides the strength that we need. We show ourselves brave, man, he's right there. And our strength potential is defined by the Christ within us. We can do all things through that Christ within us. Back to 1 Corinthians 16. These are quite powerful verses. Watch ye. Watch ye. Be spiritually awake, verse 13. Stand fast or firm in the household of faith. Quit you like men. Show yourself brave. Be of good courage, and God will strengthen us. Let all your things be done with charity. We do all of this with the love of God. Once we know the doctrine of the household of faith, the true standard of believing, we must stand firm in that truth. Standing firm in the household of faith, again, it's not about grouping ourselves in a location or calling ourselves by a name necessarily. The household of faith is framed with the truth regarding Jesus Christ and the faith he made available. So to stand firm in the household of faith requires love, motivated watchfulness, vigilance, love-motivated courage, and love-motivated strength. We stand firm in the household of faith. Titus chapter 1, please. Titus chapter 1, in verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We hold fast the faithful word. God, who is faithful, backs his word. That's why it's faithful. He will not allow one jot or one tittle to fall. The question is, will I be faithful? Will you be faithful? Each generation or day and time in which we live will face challenges and challengers, like it says here in verse 9. Those are the gainsayers who speak against the truth. This opposition is not new. It's ancient. The action we take, though, is simple, yet it touches every aspect of our lives. Simply put, we stand firm in the household of faith, as the Word declares. This is sound doctrine, and we leave the rest to God. God bless you. We love you.